I invite you to turn now, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 10 to 13. The Apostle Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we give thanks now for the time we have had to worship and to consider the ministries and the work that we have to do. And Lord, we're asking now to be settled in Thy presence as the Word of God is opened and as we prepare ourselves for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. I pray that I will know that anointing from heaven, the strength and power that is not man-made. I'm praying that everyone here would have a hearing ear and an understanding heart. Lord, please take away from us those distractions that so often come and steal away the blessing of our time. Hear our prayer now this morning, and draw near to us in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I want to leave before you today the opening words of verse number 10, where the apostles said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." So often that when we come to focus on these words from Ephesians 6, dealing with the armor of God, and we have looked at them in the past, well, this opening line and word may not get all the attention that is necessary. We've now returned from the summer vacation, and we are ready for the next stage of the journey, and we are putting on the harness again for service. A good break is so necessary in the work of God, and our Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that His disciples were to come apart and rest a while, for they knew weariness. Sometimes a holiday may not be a break so much from physical activity, but it is a change from the normal actions, and that is a welcome relief. But now we come to, in one sense, the bottom of the mountain, and we must begin our ascent. During the summer, I had the opportunity of climbing Mount Washington in Vermont, or rather New Hampshire, and it wasn't on a bicycle or on foot. But as I drove up that mountain, it was a steep climb on a narrow road. The ascent and the very top of the mountain is 6,300 feet. It was about 80 degrees on the bottom and about 50 degrees Fahrenheit at the top, and so it was quite a change. But what I noticed is going up the mountain, there were some folks on bicycles, and as they were trying to pedal, well, it was evident by the expression on their faces and also their bodies that this was not an easy climb. And I thought to myself, when we come back to the fall work, it is difficult oftentimes after a summer break to realize that there is a mountain of work that is in front of us. And sometimes that mountain is a steep climb. And it's not easy. And even the thought of beginning such a climb, well, it can almost tire us out before we start. How essential it is as we come to the work of God in this new season and we get started. How will we accomplish this thing? Will we do it out of a sense of duty? Will it be because we sense our commitment or responsibility? Will it be the sheer drive that you and I will have from within? While all of those things are necessary in their place, if that is all that we have, we deceive ourselves and the work will be hindered. Now, in this portion of the Word of God we have read in Ephesians 6, the apostle begins the final summary. The first three chapters of Ephesians, they deal with some of the mountain peaks of doctrine and of scriptural truth. They deal with explaining and defining what it is to know the doctrine of God's sovereign election. And of the fact that we were called by the Holy Spirit unto faith. And how that you and I, as Christians, we are to be changed into the image of Jesus. That's what the Lord is doing in and through our lives, day by day. Sometimes we wonder that the change is not happening very fast. But nonetheless, if we are in Christ, God's Spirit is working in us and through us. That's what Paul was teaching in the first three chapters. But then from chapters 4, 5, and 6, he unfolds the practical way that this is going to be accomplished. And now, in the last chapter, the last chapter, he is saying, here is something that you need to put into your mind and heart and soul, and you are to be strong in the Lord. That, my friend, is the answer. All is at stake for the honor of Christ. And let us not look at this in some light or flippant way. For everything that you and I, as God's children, are involved with in the walk of faith and in the journey, in the race that we are running, it is all to do with the honor of Jesus our Lord. And if you and I go off the rails, if you and I on that steep, narrow mountain road fall over the edge, it will not be good for us. It will be a bad testimony for our Lord. And it may well be a hindrance to the entire work of God. So there is so much for us to consider. And the weight of this, I want us to first of all think very carefully and simply at that phrase, to be strong in the Lord. This for Paul, as he was sharing with the Ephesians, was not the end of the matter. In many respects, it was the very beginning for them. After he had set down before them all of the great and grand and glorious doctrinal truths, he is saying, now, my friends, my loved ones, now you are able to go out and go forward and go on rejoicing in all that you have in Christ, rejoicing in the rich possessions you have in Him. And now you are to go out and be a testimony. Will you face enemies? You will most certainly face enemies, and the fiercest of them. And enemies that are not just flesh and blood, but enemies that are spiritual and powerful and bent on destroying your life and testimony. And we are called by God to be strong in the Lord, not in the flesh, We do not war in the flesh. We do not gain victory in the flesh in that sense. And how will all this be accomplished for us as we are setting out on our new journey here in the fall time? Will it be accomplished by some new strategies? New strategies are not a bad thing. New strategies are good in certain time and place. And it's good for us sometimes to step back from the same old way and pattern that things have been done and say, maybe there is a different way or a better way, or a way that we could refine our outreach program or the way in which we are going about the business. We do not change the message, but sometimes there is need to relook at that. Will it be by a new strategy? Will it be by a new program, adding more programs to what we already have in ministry? There may be some times where that's appropriate. There may be a new need for a Bible study group. There might be another section of looking at or examining how we go about what we're doing. Those are not bad things. Those are good things in their place. Maybe it'll be by a pep talk from the pastor, some guilt motivation. No, that won't work. That won't work at all. My friends, if it is not by the power of God's Spirit enabling us to do the work of God, the work will not get done to the Lord's honor and glory. We are to be strong in the Lord. And what is important for us to remember out of this is that we are to be strong in the Lord because we are related to Christ. We belong to Him. We are in the Lord. Our position is secure in Christ Jesus. Out of the Lord, all of our activity and work may be nothing more than good strategies, good programs, good challenges. But in Christ, you and I, we have a footing. We have a place in Him. We are related to the Lord in salvation. And we can say and rejoice today, my sins have been washed away by the precious blood of my Redeemer. And I know this morning that it is well with my soul. I know today that if I was to leave this earth, either by prolonged illness or by a sudden accident, I know that I will be with my Lord in glory because I am saved by His grace. And I know my sins have been forgiven. And I rejoice that I am related to Him. And that relation brings to us security. I am not saved by my own power or intellect or strength. I am saved by the grace of God and by the operation of the Holy Spirit within my heart. I am saved to serve the living God. And that salvation is secure because Christ Jesus is victorious in what He accomplished and what He came to do. And we talk sometimes of eternal security, and what a great doctrine that is, that once a person is genuinely converted to Christ, they are saved, not just for time, but we are saved for all eternity because the salvation that we possess did not come from ourselves. It came from the living God. And I rejoice in that today, friend. I'm happy about that. He thrills my heart and gives me a sense of peace. But I say to you that the salvation that we possess that is eternal, because it is eternal, it is therefore very much temporal as well. It applies to our lives here and now. We're not just saved to think about someday in the future where we'll be with heaven, with the Lord in heaven. But we are saved by the Lord here and now and secure in this life. And therefore, my friends, it does not matter what though the accuser may roar of ills that I have done, of sins that I've committed. It does not matter what enemy that is brought about by satanic power that roars against the child of God and what we're doing. We are secure in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are safe in Him. And I am happy about that, friend, because we are saved and secure. And I know that my standing before a holy God comes with the authority of heaven. Do you remember what John said in his first chapter of his gospel? That Christ and all that came to Him, He has given them authority to become the sons of God. He has given to us the power to become the sons of God in salvation. And if that power has been Christ granted and given, and if we possess that in ourselves, what does it mean? Well, it means that we are saved and secure. It means that we have a standing in the eyes of a holy God that cannot ever change. You know, this is a great truth. Once you are justified by God's sovereign grace, once the Lord declares you as being holy before His throne, you are not going to be more justified tomorrow, or you're not going to be less justified the next day after that. It does not fluctuate up and down. When God looks upon us and He justifies us before His accounting in glory, He has done so not on our account, but He has done so on Christ's account. And that has been applied to you and me. So I know today, friend, that I have a solid and a sure and everlasting standing before God. And when we add all of those things together, what Christ Jesus has given to you and me as believers is a great and gracious supply of His mercy and a supply of His grace for every day to supply the need that you and I have. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm happy about that today. And believer, that should cause your heart to rejoice. That should cause you to be very happy and to be satisfied, because nothing else needs to be added to us by way of being justified. Oh, I know. We're on the journey of being made like our Lord Jesus. And that sometimes is an unpleasant experience. Why? Well, the Lord has to come along and take away some things that are not pleasing to Him, in order that He might add other things that are pleasing to Him. And that work of sanctification means sometimes the gardener has to come with the saw or the pruning shears and take away a little shoot that is not going in the right direction. But friends, when that happens, and though that time might be somewhat unpleasant, God is working in you. He's working in us. And He's working in us that we might be made like unto Him. Yes, friends, being strong in the Lord is knowing, first of all, where we stand because of the great work that Christ has done in us. But you know, there's another reason here, and it is because the enemy is great, but the Lord is greater. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, Peter said, seeking whom he may devour. And doesn't the enemy come at us from many different angles? And as a Christian, you know this. It's good to be reminded, though, because sometimes the devil will come at you and me in the direct frontal attack. He comes at us from the enemy from the outside of the fellowship. And he attacks the work of God. He attacks the church of Jesus Christ worldwide. And he attacks sometimes by persecution and the threat of death. And this is happening in our world today. It's happening in Africa. It's happening by Muslim extremist groups who are persecuting. It's happening by Hindu extremist groups that are attacking and sometimes killing pastors and Christians. Yes, sometimes it's that direct frontal attack and the persecution comes. But what about in our land? At this point in time, the physical persecution has not taken place, but our governments are increasingly opposed to the Bible and the right thinking of the Word of God. And whether it is a government structure or within society, what is happening is that they are ripping apart the very biblical standards that the country and the nation has been built on. I hardly need to explain to you or to give you illustration, because if you watch the news at all, you'll be very much a part of this. I was grieved and saddened to learn that the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, has put forth a program called Drag Kids. It's a program where children are dressing up as drag queens and making sexually perverse performances and going through all of the dressing up and the makeup and the cross-gender expressions that are brought out by that evil and wicked movement. I'll tell you what's happening. This is only a step to the justification of pedophilia in our land. You wait and see. These things are already promoted. And I'll tell you why it will come. Because whenever you take away the Bible as the foundation of society and of right thinking and of right and wrong, whenever you remove the foundation of what is sin, what you're left with is simply the human mind and the human heart to come out with expressions of what, well, why can't we? Why can't we do this? And you are going to see an increasing amount of this frontal attack against the Christian church in our time. When we face this, what is the Christian to do? We are to be strong in the Lord. We are to rest in Christ. We are not to fret ourselves because of evildoers that seem to prosper in their time. Why? Because the Lord says they will soon be cut off and they will wither as the green herb. The Christian, the Bible, God's Word, it stands forever sure and it will never be eradicated. We stand today, believer, on God's great and holy and precious Word. And therefore, let us not be discouraged in any way, but pressing on with Him. Sometimes the devil will come to the Church of Christ with another tack. It will be to divide and conquer. Getting between in the local church, maybe brothers and sisters, or maybe within the family. This is something that we have been talking about as we're thinking about what represents and what is a healthy New Testament fellowship in church. And oftentimes you are presented from the Word and being warned from the pulpit, beware of the root of bitterness that the Lord says it will spring up and defile many. And so, never let a weed see a Sunday. Never let a sin see a new day. And make sure we pull out those roots that we sense are growing up in our own hearts. And to be praying that the devil will not be able to get his wedge in or get any seeds planted in our fellowship. But I think there's another way in which he comes against the child of God. It is by, well, sheer disinterest in the work of God. You say, how could it be that a Christian could be careless or apathetic or in an attitude whereby the work of God is not important? It can happen. It does happen. And in some degree, we're all guilty of it, because we can become weary in well-doing. We can become taken over by a sense of, oh, there's just too much to do, the work is too great, the mountain is too high, and I can't climb it. Beware, my friend, the devil doesn't get into your mind or heart and say you have a disinterest in his things. Because if that's the case, it will lead to being defeated. And it will lead then to some disillusionment and despair. Oh, we don't want to see that. And that's how the devil operates. But remember this, because the Lord our God is greater, he is more powerful than any devil, And He is able, my friend, to deliver us. So whenever we sense that feeling or that temptation coming over us of being disinterested in God's work, let us pray it out of our hearts and pray that the Lord would renew a right spirit in us. He would renew a joy and a love for His work. He would renew an interest in the things of Christ. Because we know well, don't we, that the flesh rebels against everything that is of the Spirit. And we pray that the Lord will enable us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in His wonderful face, because then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The word of encouragement, well, that's the word that Moses, by the Holy Spirit, gave to Joshua when he faced enemies and obstacles that were greater and mightier than him. But you'll know when Joshua went and he stood before the captain of the host of the Lord, he said, "Are you for us or for our enemy?" It is before the captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to Joshua at that time. And he strengthened his servant, and he enabled him to go on. And you know, when we have seen our Lord by faith, and when we have communed with our God, a captain, then we need not fear what the enemy will bring against us. When we are admonished by the Spirit to be strong in the Lord, it is an intentional action for you and I to look away from ourselves and to look away with intention unto Christ, from us to Him. And as we do this by grace, we will find that He is the one who is able to deliver us. And therefore, we need not to be fretting what the devil will bring against us. You may have noticed that this is a command given to be strong in the Lord. But with the command, it is not something that we just do by our own willpower, because the Lord always, when He gives us a command, He gives us the grace and the ability to obey. But it is a step in faith, isn't it? And we must look beyond the present enemy, and we look beyond the obstacle that is in front of us, to the God of our salvation, who is mightier and stronger to deliver us in all things. But my friend, there is yet another reason for us to be strong in the Lord. It's because we are part of God's eternal purpose and plan. If there is no other reason for us to be strong in the Lord, but for us to know this, that God is eternal and sovereign, and what He is working out, we are His servants. And He is working out His plan through us. And therefore, let us rejoice in that and to say that the God who is glorious and all-powerful cannot fail. And if the Lord cannot fail, as we walk in Him, we will not fail either. We will accomplish that which He has purposed to do through our Savior from the foundation of the world. We have a great hope. His purpose cannot be overturned. It can't be thwarted. And therefore, you and I are on the victory side. And let us press on and go forward. For the Lord that is strong and mighty in battle, the Lord will not fail. You know some ways in which we might fail? If we do not see things in their right perspective. If we think that in some way, for example, Whitfield, if we think that some way in the field of education that this will help us and will accomplish in this way, is it science or mathematics, the languages? We don't at all despise the need of learning. This past week in our orientation days, this very point was presented to the staff members and the emphasis. As we looked across the over 40 people that we have in staff, full and part-time people, there was an accumulated and a mass of education and learning that is quite impressive. But we said to them, education impressive as it is not the answer to Whitfield's needs. Nor is education or any kind of dependence on it the answer for the work of God in any place, church or school. Oh no, friend, it must be by something so much more than this. And yes, as we study and learn and prepare ourselves to be educated people in the things of God or in the disciplines of life, these things must have as their foundation the power of God to go forward, the Spirit of the Lord that will direct us. We also must be reminded continually that the work we're involved with is a work of faith. Yes, it's always the balancing act between the finances and the faith in our ministry, whether it is in our church or our school. This is not easy. This is a difficult thing because you're dealing with the lives of people, not only our staff members and our students, but altogether the parents, everyone. And this is not easy. We cannot forget that the just will live by faith. And as we launch out again, we're thrown back upon this word, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, not in your education, not in your finance. No, friend. And we can't either take hope in this sense or dependence, rather, in the future and what the prospect is outside of this, knowing that our strength abides and it will continue only in the Lord Himself. I close with this morning. We are empowered by the might of God Himself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now you might say, well, that goes without saying, doesn't it? That every Christian is not strengthened by themselves. Yes, but sometimes in the weakness of our faith, oh, we wonder, Lord, am I going to get through this? Are you going to bring us through? And we become very fearful. Because the mountain is high or the oppression is great and the battle is intense. Now, friends, to ask the question, is God able to bring us through? It may be a question to ask, is God strong enough to take care of us? Oh, we are empowered by the might of our eternal God. And this living God that we know, that has made Himself known to us, that has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what He said to Joshua. That's what Christ said in the book of Hebrews. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, you and I today can say we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Our God is great. He is not short of power. He is the one to enable us. And therefore, friend, don't let reluctance to believe in God or failure to step out in the promise or a fear of losing control of our lives or anything of this, but rather let us venture all upon the Lord Jesus. Let us take God at His word and set out on this new season of service, drawing all that is necessary from Him. And we will prove Him. We will see that He is more than able to take care, and He is more than willing to stand up to His own holy word. For the Lord has set His word above all His name, and we today stand in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we start out this morning and on this new session of work, let us take God at His word and be strong in the Lord. We're going to close our service today by singing number 602. 602. Conquering now and still to conquer, rideth the King in His might. Let's stand, please, as we sing. hymn to the Lord's glory today. You may not be staying for communion, and please feel free to leave after we sing this next verse, and then if you're remaining, we'll just take a seat after it's concluded to begin the Lord's table service. Verse 2. As we prepare ourselves now for the Lord's table, we're going to sing number 555. The words will not be on the screen, so I encourage you please to take your hymnal and turn to 555.